us yet again to have this opportunity to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So thankful for the song leader for the wonderful way in which he's led songs this morning. That last song so appropriate. Heaven is on the other side. Whenever you get down, whenever you get discouraged, whenever you feel like you just can't go any further, you just remember that there's something that awaits all of us, and that something is heaven. And certainly we're grateful that God has blessed us to come again to worship him this day in spirit and in truth. He asked us, are we feeling good this morning? I don't know about you, I'm feeling good this morning. It's a beautiful day outside. God has blessed me to make it through the week. God has blessed each and every one of you to make it through the week, in so much as you have been able to come through the door this morning. And the stage is set for us to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I can think of no better way for me to spend my Sunday morning than in worship and praise to God. So thank you, Father, for giving us this opportunity. So good to see everyone that's here this morning. It's especially encouraging to look on this second row and see Sister Mildred Bell here this morning. Amen. So such an encouragement. We want to continue to pray with and for her as well as the rest of the Bell family. And we're just grateful to see you this morning, Sister Bell. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I just want to remember Brother Gibbs as well. He is beginning a gospel meeting at the Forest Hill congregation in Forest Hills. So we want to remember him as he goes about preaching and teaching the word of God, and just pray that much fruit will come from it. I want to direct your attention to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Most of us can quote it. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I'm going to use as a topic for the lesson this morning, holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable. This very familiar passage of Scripture, perhaps one of the most beautiful and most profound and challenging exhortations given to us by Paul, is given in an attempt to foster proper Christian conduct. I've read somewhere that over the years, that sometimes in smaller churches, in country settings, that did not have a preacher, that someone would stand up and publicly read this particular text. The words that Paul gives are a sermon unto themselves. Paul uses the concept of sacrifice in conjunction with the Christian life to show the intensity, or what should be the intensity and commitment of the Christian and his sacrifice of his life giving back to God. He says in this text that it should be a total sacrifice. When I think about that, I think about the old story, and I know you've heard it before, about the chicken and the pig. You remember they lived on a farm, and they were so appreciative of the farmer. He was such a great man, and all of a sudden the chicken said, I think we ought to do something to show our appreciation for the farmer and his goodness to us. Why don't we serve him a breakfast providing eggs and bacon? for the chicken. Eggs were simply a contribution. But for the pig, bacon was a total commitment. Not only must there be sacrifice or commitment, but the sacrifice must meet the standards of God. That standard is given here in, again, in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. He said, again, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What are the standards? He said that is holy and acceptable unto God. As Paul begins this particular text, he says, first of all, I beseech you. In other words, I beg you. It says, I beg you by the mercies of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11, on another occasion, Paul seeks to encourage individuals. He says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. But here in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1, Paul does not attempt to influence us by God's power or by God's terror or his dominance or his vengeance. He seeks to influence us based on his mercy. One thing we all have in common this morning, whether we accept it or not, God has been merciful. God has been merciful. And Paul is saying that we should, there ought to be some sort of response to the mercy of God. You got up this morning, not because you're so good and you took care of yourself so well. You got up because of mercy. You got through some trials this week, not because you were so clever and had such ability to get yourself through the maze of trials this week, but you got through them because of mercy. Some of us have health problems and we take our medicine and do everything that the doctor does, asked us to do, but it's not because of that, it's because of mercy that we're here this morning. I don't care how good you think you are. You may have think that you did God a favor by coming through the door this morning. But I'm here to tell you, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we have forgiveness based on his mercy. And I would submit to you that his mercy should be enough to cause me to be what I should and ought to be. God is a merciful God. When I think about the mercy of God, it compels me. When I think about the mercy of God, it compels me to bring an acceptable sacrifice. When I come here and I recognize that God has been merciful throughout the week, I want to give a sacrifice. Starting with my sacrifice of worship, I want to present myself in a way that is pleasing and acceptable unto God. So here in the text, Paul is saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The word present is the same term that is used in the Old Testament, and it refers to the early Levitical sacrifices. I'm about to take a drink here. My voice is leaving me already. One would present an offering to be sacrificed, and that offering had to be holy and acceptable unto God. When we look at this or think about this, one of the many examples that we can find of the Levitical sacrifice, we turn back to Leviticus chapter 22 and looking at verse number 21. In Leviticus chapter 22 and looking down to verse number 21, the Bible says, and whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it should be what? It should be perfect to be accepted, and there should be no blemish therein. Look what he says. You know, sometimes God had to go deep into explaining what he had wanted them to do because folk would try to find loopholes. But look what he said. He said, blind or broken or maimed, having a wind or scurvy or scab, you shall not offer these unto the Lord. He said, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Look at what he says. He goes further in verse number 23. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath any superfluous or lacking in its parts, that thou mayest offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. In other words, God is saying, now don't you come and go to the flock and find, well, there's a lamb that can't keep up with everybody. I'll just offer that one. Or there's one that's blind that we have to have somebody to lead him all the time. We'll just offer him that one. God said, no, I want the offering to be a perfect offering. Look what he says. He goes further. In verse number 24, he said, you shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. What are you saying, Lord? I'm saying I want a perfect sacrifice. God wanted a perfect sacrifice because he was setting the stage for when he was going to establish and bring a perfect sacrifice on behalf of the people. One would present an offering to be sacrificed that had to be holy and acceptable unto God. What is meant by holy? Holy means to be set apart. It is set apart for God's purpose. What does it mean to be acceptable? It means to measure up to God's standard. It had to be set apart for God's purpose, and it had to measure up to God's standard. That is holy and acceptable. So here we have the example of a sacrificial lamb that had to be perfect. And when we come over to the New Testament, as God set the standard for the sacrificial lamb, we see the example of the sacrificial lamb of God. When we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, and looking at verse number 18, we see an example of this whole idea of the perfect sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Next verse. But with the precious blood of Christ. As a what? As a lamb. In the Old Testament, that lamb had to be without spot. That lamb had to be without cut. That lamb had to be without disease. And Jesus now comes on the scene. The Bible said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We got the sacrificial lamb that we found in Leviticus. Now we have the sacrificial lamb of God here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. The Old Testament lamb, the sacrificial lamb. And now God calls for each one of us. He calls for us to be a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The Old Testament was a lamb. Jesus was a lamb. We now are looked upon as sheep. I know that because the writer over in the Old Testament says, all we like sheep have gone astray. But in the midst of that, God calls us to be a sacrificial body. We give our bodies sacrificially back to God. When the first lamb was slain, it had to be holy and acceptable. When Jesus died, he had to be holy and acceptable. When the first lamb died, he died on the altar. When the second lamb died, he died on the cross. And now, when it comes to us, God calls for us to die as well. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 4. I want us to look at the kind of death that needs to be died for each and every one of us. Hebrews chapter 10 and looking at verse number 4, the Bible said, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Under that old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats, they were sacrificed over and over and over, but they could never accomplish what God needed to accomplish. Next verse. Wherefore, when it cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Jesus said, you're giving me a body. Next verse. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. What are you saying? Yes, I put in the economy the ability to offer sacrifices, but that really doesn't meet my objective. Read. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Next verse. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Read. Then he said, go to the next verse. He said, by the which we are sanctified. In other words, we are set apart. I said, we got to be holy. That means set apart and acceptable. He said, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Read, next verse. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Go to verse 14. Go back. Go back one verse. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down. And he's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. The first lamb died on the altar. The second lamb died on the cross. We now have to be individuals that are sanctified. Go now to verse number 14. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Paul said in Romans 12 that you got to be holy and acceptable unto God. When we talk about perfected and sanctified, we are holy and acceptable because of the body and the blood of Christ that has made us perfect and has set us apart for his purpose. I can offer an offering that is holy and acceptable, not so much because of what I am and what I do, but because of what God did. I couldn't stand before God perfect by myself. I can't stand before God with no blemishes by myself. I've got blemishes, but based on the offering, based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he has perfected me. As I set my life apart and I give my life, I present my life as an offering. It is accomplished through the blood of Jesus Christ. When I think about this as well, just like the first lamb died and the sacrificial lamb of God died, in order for me to be holy and acceptable as a sacrifice to God, I've got to die as well. I've got to die to self, and I've got to die to sin. Turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to look at verses number 1 through 5. Colossians chapter 3. And looking at verse number 1 through 5, the Bible said, if you then be risen with Christ. If you then be risen with Christ. You know, we have a lot of folks in religion that don't believe that baptism is essential. But Paul just assumes that you've done this. If you then be risen with Christ. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the throne, on the right hand of God. And then he says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. He said in verse number 3, for you are dead. You are dead. When I went down in water, I died to myself. This old man was put away. All things have become new. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then the Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And then look at what he says in verse number 5. He said, mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth. What does it mean to mortify? Put to death. Put to death fornication. Put to death uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. When I think about sin, sin by its nature is death. Sin is a separation between God and man. I don't want to be dead in sin. God calls me to be dead to sin. I don't want to be dead in sin. When sin takes over my life, I'm a dead man walking. I'm void of the connection that should exist between me and God. I'm caught up in the vision of this world. Why is it that people can do some of the things in this world that they do? Why is it some of the people can take on some of the beliefs that they have and some of the actions that they have? I tell you why. Because they're dead. They're dead in sin. But when I come to a point in my life and I recognize that I've got to present myself as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, I become dead to sin. Sin no longer has the grip on me that it used to have. Sin no longer has the influence on me that it used to have. I now have a different way of looking at life, a different way of looking at things. I'm now dead to sin. I mortified this old man. You know, we live in a day and time in which there's a lot of preaching that's going on, and we're going to be studying about it in our men's meeting, but it's called low-demand preaching. It's preaching that doesn't demand anything of you. You just come and get your blessing. You just come to claim what God owes you. But I'm here to tell you that God demands something of us. And when I think about everything that God has done for me, I should be compelled to give something back to him. When I think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, nobody had to tell me to sing this morning. When I think about all that God has done for me, nobody had to tell me to participate in the prayer and concentrate on the death and the burial and the resurrection of God. God has been so good to me. You didn't come here to be pleased by the song leader this morning. You didn't come here to be pleased by me this morning. You came to offer your own sacrifice of worship. Holy and acceptable. And I just believe that when, you know, there are a lot of churches, and I know this might wind up on the internet somewhere, but that's all right. But there are a lot of churches, some in our own brotherhood, that are concerned with trying to make worship in such a way that it really touches and really makes people feel good. That's not the object. If we all come here individually and collectively to give our own sacrifice of worship, if we all come with that obligation and all with that priority, we don't have to do anything to build up the worship service. I do my part, you do your part, and God gives the honor and the glory that he deserves. I don't look mad, do I? It bothers me sometimes. God has done all he's done. Then folk want to come up in the worship service and think, well, I'm the audience. You're not the audience. God is the audience. When I think about this further, holiness is a separation unto God. I think about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, looking at verse number 3, 4, and 7, where it talks about this idea of holiness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and looking at verse number 3, the Bible said, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, so that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification." What is sanctification? It again is set apart. I'm using my body in the way that it was set apart to be used. He said, "Not in the lusts of conception, sir, not even as the Gentiles which know not God." And then look at what it says in verse number 7, "For God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Again, as for the sacrificial lamb was chosen, it was set apart for the purpose of being offered up, and it was holy unto God. Jesus then came into this world, the sacrificial lamb, and it was holy in that it separated himself unto the will of God. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 4 and verse number 34, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He set himself apart for the will of God. Now God calls me to be set apart or separated unto the will of God. My task. It's to separate myself unto the will of God. Holiness concerns also the conduct that is becoming of a Christian. If we turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse number 15 and verse number 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 15 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "But as he which had called you is what? Holy. So be ye what? Holy. In all manner of what?" That word conversation is life. In all areas of life, you ought to consider yourself as holy. At home, holy. On the job, holy. Somebody cut you off on Central Expressway, holy. Because the text said, "Because as it is written, be ye holy." He said, "For I am holy." The church is called to be holy. The church is a called out. That word ekklesia means called out. We're sanctified or set apart for a purpose. And we need to consider ourselves and conduct ourselves as individuals who are holy. Well, Romans not only says that we're to be holy, but we need to be acceptable unto God. We live in a day and time where it seems that most anything is acceptable. But God's standards are not changing. God's standards are going to remain the same. Even as we look around and see this world changing, see the mores of society changing, even see the tolerances that even were things that seem to be fixed, even in religion and theology and doctrine, are changing. God still is not going to change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God went on record of saying, "Behold, I'm Jehovah, and I change not." God is a God who is based and wants us to live our lives based on a standard, and that standard is a standard of truth, holy and acceptable. And it's God who determines what is acceptable. God reserves the right to determine what is acceptable unto him. Don't you remember over and again in Leviticus chapter 10 and looking at verse number 2, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Don't you remember the story of Nadab and Abihu? Don't you remember that God told them and gave them instructions about how to make an offering to him? The Bible said in verse number 1, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense incense thereon and offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. In other words, he told them what to do, but they did something which was against what he told them to do. You know, when I think about that, I think I've shared this story before. I find it interesting where here the text says, they offered a fire which he commanded them not. Several years ago, I went to a church. We were on vacation in Orlando, Florida. And one Sunday evening, we were looking for a place to worship. I just went through the internet, found a Church of Christ, and we went there and we showed up that evening. We got there and I had occasion to be introduced to the minister. And as I was introduced to the minister, all of a sudden, there comes somebody walking up the aisle with what appeared to be a guitar case. And I thought in my mind, I didn't say anything. I said, oh, okay. Then here come another one on the other side. Then in walks someone else with an electric piano. Now they got my attention. So they began to set up behind the pulpit. And I asked the minister, I said, is instrumental music a part of your worship? And he said, yes, oh, yes, yes, Brother Worthy, it's a part of our worship. And I asked him this simple question, by what authority? Now, keep in mind what God said to Nadab and Abihu, which he commanded them not. His answer was, the Lord didn't tell us not to. He don't have to tell you what not to do if he told you what to do. He told us to sing. Make melody in your hearts unto the Lord. When I look at the text here, it seems almost strange that they offered a fire. It seems like to me that God, when it comes to fire, fire is fire. But they offered an offering with fire that God had not commanded them. Bible said in verse number 2, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them. And they died before the Lord. But here's what I think. When God is trying to make a point on the fact, when I tell you what to do, you just need to do it. He went a little bit further. Look at what took place in verse number 6. The Bible said, and Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar and his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes. In other words, God had given them the message. I don't care that I burn them up from heaven. Don't you mourn. Don't shave your head. Don't tear your clothes. They disobeyed me. Holy and acceptable unto God. And I'm here to tell you that God reserves the right to determine what is holy and acceptable to him. We live in a day and time in which almost anything is acceptable, but I'm here to tell you that it's not going to matter what. In the end, it's not going to matter what a government has to say. Not going to matter what 9 Supreme Court judges have to say. Not going to matter what any mores or what many ways of thinking and many schools of thought may have to say about things. The only thing that's going to matter in the end is what God has to say. And I'm going to be standing not before a Supreme Court judge, not before a government. I'm going to be standing before God. Then the text says, again back to Romans chapter 12, he said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the most beautiful things about God is that when he asks us to do a thing, he has something in return. When we are willing to give our best to God, it allows us to prove to ourselves just how good God is. God does not have to prove who he is. God is God. But I prove who God is to myself when I present the sacrifice of a life that is holy and acceptable to God, that's when God can truly work in my life. Don't you remember Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22? God told Abraham to present his son as a sacrifice, and Abraham did. God went on record of stating that he was going to bless Abraham. Why did he bless him? Because his sacrifice was holy and acceptable unto God. Well, he didn't offer a sacrifice, Brother Worthy. God stopped him, but he did what God told him to do. God blessed him because he didn't hold back. I wonder how things would have gone if Abraham would have said, no, God, I don't think I could do that because, you know, that's my only son. Abraham, God possibly would have taken his son anyway. He'd have been given no credit for having performed the sacrifice, no blessing. But because Abraham did what God told him, God made him a promise that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. But you know, sometimes that's the case with us. We withhold from God. I can't put this money in the offering this morning because withholding. I can't be at all the worship services. My time is short. Withholding. I don't feel up to singing in the worship this morning. Let everybody else sing. Withholding. This brother or sister or my husband or wife has wronged me one time too many. I just don't have it within me to forgive them once again. Withholding. I got to present my body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. And as I bring this lesson to a close, there might be someone here that is not a member of the Lord's church. I've talked about the fact that you've got to die. And I'm sharing with you this morning that you must die. But the death is again in baptism. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, and looking at verse number 3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Then he said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. God calls you to die. Don't live any longer or be dead any longer in sin. God is calling you to be dead to sin. God calls you to give your body a living sacrifice. You can do that this morning. I've given you the word of God as simply as I possibly can. Hear the word of God, believe the same. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Go down in that water, that going down in the water, it's a burial. It's where I become dead to sin and no longer dead in sin. And you come up and walk in the newness of life. There might be some here this morning and you are members of the body of Christ, but you're dead in sin. I'm calling you, God is calling you to be dead to sin. Don't continue to live any longer therein. If you need the prayers of the church and need to ask for forgiveness, don't live one more day being dead in sin. Be dead to sin. God is calling you this morning. He calls you to be holy and acceptable unto him. Won't you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
I am resolved.